Welcome to Lessons I've Learned, a series of podcasts by global consultant, best-selling author, and former Harvard Business School professor, David Maister.
Hello, I'm David Maister. This series of 15 podcasts is called Managing Professionals: Attitudes, Skills, and Behaviors. It's designed to help people who have the responsibility for managing a group of professionals. This last episode, called Why Bother, is a summary and review with suggestions for your next steps. It's based in part on my book, First Among Equals, co-authored with Patrick McKenna. I'll try to review the journey we have taken in this series and suggest some future reading for you. I've described in this series a role full of challenges. Group leaders, as player coaches, must give up some portion of the client or production work they were trained to do, and certainly a skill that, and probably find deeply satisfying. For what? The chance to deal with the emotions of their colleagues. The responsibility to be the one to let people know they could do better. The obligation to resolve conflicts and crises. All of which require skills that no one ever trained you for. The most common reaction I hear when we discuss group leadership with professionals is, "But no one ever taught us this stuff. Nowhere in our education or growth within the firm were we ever given practice at these skills. How are we going to find good managers in such an environment?" I don't underestimate the challenge. One of the tragedies of professional life is that throughout our schooling, for all of us, we're taught to focus on the logical and the rational and the analytical. This orientation continues through the many years of the apprenticeship that most of us had, when we're usually junior members of a team responsible for analytical work. The message we receive in our junior years is, keep your head down, get it right, do it fast, and don't mess up. Nowhere along the way does anyone emphasize the importance of social, interpersonal, psychological, and emotional skills in determining our success in professional life. Then the day arrives when we make a terrifying discovery. The world is filled with people, clients, colleagues, subordinates, and superiors, and that dealing with them draws upon attitudes and skills that no one ever taught us. The fact that many of us come to this realization late in our careers, that these skills are important, is a reason to try harder to acquire them, not as an excuse to abandon all efforts. Another common reaction is, why should I want to take on this role? If it means giving up some of my client work or production work, won't I be putting my career at risk by spending time being a manager and not practicing my profession? The first point to make is that we've been describing a role which is a player coach, not a full-time coach. You won't have given up your profession by becoming the group leader. Whether or not you keep up your professional skills is more a matter of the caliber of work you do, not the quantity. The news can be even better. Consider the range of skills that we've discussed in this series: listening, empathizing, understanding, influencing another human being, being able to get things done through others. All of these skills are immensely valuable to a client counselor. Earlier in this podcast series, I invited you to consider whether the talents of a trusted advisor to clients were similar to those of being a trusted advisor to one's colleagues. I now ask you to consider the question in reverse. Would learning how to win and earn the trust of your colleagues, learning how to be a person that others accept guidance from, would all that help you become more valuable to your clients and therefore help you become more valuable on the marketplace? I think the answer is a resounding yes. There are financial benefits as well. In Practice What You Preach, I was able to provide solid evidence that there is this sequence for making money. First, you remember, you energize and excite your people. Then they serve the marketplace with outstanding quality and service. And if you do that, the financial results occur. So how do you launch the sequence? The evidence that we've built this series on is clear by having group managers in place who are dedicated to bringing out the best in those around them. But the reasons for wanting to perform this challenge are not all selfish, even if direct benefits to you do exist. There is also, for some people, the comfort and satisfaction that comes from knowing that you've made a difference in people's lives, that you've helped them accomplish more than they ever dreamed that they could. that you help people understand themselves more deeply and more accurately and help them find a path in professional life that would play to their special strengths. It gives you a chance to put your head on your pillow and say, I made a difference in someone's life today. It doesn't happen every day, but when it does, it's deeply fulfilling. I once heard a friend of mine say that he went into management because he didn't want other people to be managed the way that he was managed. And that struck a chord with me. Rob Duboff, who's a friend and a fellow consultant, said it this way. He said, I recognized how lucky I was at the beginning of my career. My first boss was somebody who argued with me all the time and I with him. And he cared enough about a young kid to argue, to try and teach and make sure I got the lessons. He didn't just dictate, and he made sure to meet my family and talk to them as well. That's the attitude, Rob says, that he's always tried to convey, that you care about the person that produces the work. And Rob says that's the type of person he's always tried to put in leadership positions when he's had the chance. Think back on your own career. Did you ever have a great mentor or leader or manager who made a difference to you and your career and maybe your life? Most people who have been successful did. There was that one person who gave us a chance, gave us significant responsibility that stretched us, but was there watching from the sidelines to make sure we didn't just go down in flames. Maybe you've had a chance to say thank you to that person, and maybe you didn't. But the group leadership role gives you a chance to pass the favor on. As you think about your role, think about the performance standards you are supposed to meet in your role. I often recommend that group leaders be evaluated by those they manage. To help you think about it, here are the questions I suggest for such a questionnaire. As I read off the questions, think about how well you would score. The group manager causes me to stretch for performance goals. Is concerned about long-term issues, not just short-term profits. The group manager provides constructive feedback that helps me improve my performance. The group manager is a source of creative ideas about our business. The group manager helps me grow and develop. The group manager conducts team meetings in a manner that breeds involvement. The group manager makes me feel that I'm part of a well-functioning team. The group manager emphasizes cooperation as opposed to competitiveness between work groups. The group manager is prompt in dealing with underperformance and underperformers. The group manager helps me understand how my tasks fit into the overall objectives for the group and for the firm. The group manager keeps me informed about the things I need to know to perform my role properly. The group manager actively encourages me to volunteer new ideas and make suggestions for improvement of the group. The group manager encourages me to initiate tasks or projects that I think are important. The group manager is good at keeping down the level of politics and politicking. The group manager is more often encouraging than critical. The group manager is accessible when I want to talk. The group manager is fair in dealing with professionals. The group manager is consultative in his or her decision-making. The group manager acts more like a coach than a boss. The group manager is publicly generous with credit. The group manager is effective in communicating with professionals in the group. Now, if you think about those questions, as always, there's a lot of tests there. We have said again and again, all of this may be obvious, that doesn't make it easy. If you're looking for other resources on being an effective manager, I'd recommend starting with Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, which remains the gold standard in learning how to interact with others. Kuz's and Posner's book, The Leadership Challenge, is spot on and very comprehensive. Blanchard and Johnson's The 1 Minute Manager is a fabulous place to start for those who are completely new to thinking about all this. And finally, Pete Frieders' book, The 2R Manager, gives a great deal of detail on what precisely a manager can say and do to be effective. To end this series, I've compiled a list of questions a group leader should ask himself or herself each and every week. Here's your weekly checklist. 1. Is anyone not in compliance with our group standards? Is anyone struggling? Is there someone who needs help even if they're not struggling? Who needs energizing? Who needs recognition or appreciation? Is there anyone I haven't had coffee or lunch with or otherwise paid personal attention to in a while? Is anyone doing things that are disrupting the group? Who do I have the least solid relationship with? Are the juniors being looked after? Are there any conflicts going on between group members? You can use this list in two ways. Use it to look back on the past week and ask yourself how many of these things you dealt with. Then use it to plan the coming week. Maybe you should put the list on a card, laminate it, and keep it in plain view on your desk. By accepting the responsibility to affect the performance of those around you, you have a chance to make a difference and to leave a legacy. Good luck. This podcast series is now available for purchase, both as a single episode and as part of a DVD set from my website, davidmaister.com/store, STORE. I'm also pleased to announce that my forthcoming book, Strategy and the Fat Smoker, is available for pre-order from this same location.